T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score, and what a treat. What a glorious, glorious treat. It's Friday. Brody time!
Oh my goodness! Molly!
I'm not surprising anyone because everyone heard you on less, but I'm excited because you're here.
Not radio work. Some people are hitting the button. The alarm goes off at 5 a.m. So
that's nice.
I think it was worth your while to mention me, and I got to tell you,
it was worth my while.
Yeah, it's like the radiothon. Could you, if you can, just mention it every once in a while, Molly, that I'm here. I would definitely appreciate that. I'll give you some bullet points. We can go through them. Just a little stuff about my life throughout the day. I would appreciate it. But I have to tell you, yesterday when I knew I was coming on, and I was delighted to hear that I would have the opportunity to work with you at least one of these days this week. So thank you for that. But then I get a text yesterday from your fearless executive producer, Dustin. I believe you call him Dustin William Rhodes, noticed on the closing of your show.
I must say, and you know why, right?
Because of his confirmation name?
Dustin is so stubborn, so he's Dustin William Rhodes, and he had to take a confirmation name, which offended him somehow. I have a name. It's William. So he took that name as his confirmation name. and I believe, I don't think this was confirmation. I think First Communion, he insisted on wearing a white tuxedo because all the girls got to wear white. Why wouldn't he get to wear white?
Absolutely. That is also correct.
It just speaks volumes about who the man is.
It's not a bit. It's not a bit. For all those texters and tweeters out there,
that's
it's not
right.
a bit.
It is underscoring the stubbornness in that man.
It is the most believable thing I've ever heard on the score. Like, that is one thing I'd never considered as a potential bit. I was like, yep.
One time that you said something about I was not here, and you said it was like alarming
yes,
to you.
Yes.
I was in Vegas with my wife and like a couple other couples when we were all working together upstairs many moons ago.
Sure.
And he said something about me not being here. So we're in Vegas. You guys are here. So I'm 2 hours behind. My phone is blowing up. It's buzzing and it starts ringing. And people thought that I had like ran away to Vegas because I had gotten fired or something. Because Brody had like reported that I was like MIA, missing in action. And it was super alarming to him. And I'm like, I might have just laid down. And I'm like, calling Mark, like, what are you doing? I'm like, what are we saying? Because I'm getting blown up here.
Oh, that's pretty funny.
Remind me, I owe you an amends for that. So that'll be coming.
But you were calling him alarming. And then you mentioned he wasn't there. Ran with it.
It was very parenthetically too. It wasn't like, hey guys, I've got a take.
Yeah.
Dustin, it was just kind of like, yeah, it was like Dustin, he could be very alarming. I mean, I didn't say it in an alarming tone, so to speak, but I did proclaim it.
I mean, people thought he had shuffled off this mortal coil the way you spoke of him.
That's
in the
true.
Past tense.
Yeah. Well, alarming is a panic word. There is no doubt about it. So I can see why people were calling him. But anyway, I get a text from Dustin Rhodes yesterday saying, hey, please come in studio. And I haven't heard that forever. And so I was a little alarmed by that because I like the idea of, for a morning show, waking up on my couch and then talking. However,
so you were not planning on coming in until yesterday?
Until yesterday.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah,
I was told we were in studio.
I didn't know until yesterday. So Dustin asked me to work a while ago. That was a while, but yesterday was when I found out to come in studio, which is fine. But the long end of the story is that it feels good. It felt good to have my walk in,
yeah,
then to see Dustin Rhodes in the hallway, one of the yes. first people I saw, and then to see you, Mike Mulligan, as well. It feels great.
It does feel good. It's nice to be in studio. It is. I'm glad the pandemic's over.
Yes.
I'm just glad that's over and completely. It's never. No one will ever get infected again. And it's entirely over, and we're back to 100%.
Yeah, there's no COVID-20 or whatever the next one would be, or any of that.
Well, I'm being facetious because this is far from over. It's a pandemic, right? Look up the word. It's all over the world. In case you missed it, and and Olin gave me a hard time on Wednesday because I mentioned the Delta variant. Which apparently that's the Indian from India mm-hmm. variant, which apparently is now the most infectious one that is in America. So I mean, there's all sorts of weird things still happening with COVID-19. It's not over. I mean, I get it. We're open, but it's not completely over. I get it. People are vaccinated. That's a good thing,
yeah.
right?
Yeah. But numbers are down.
There are also people that are not vaccinated. So you know. Every once in a while, you're going to think, wow, the NBA really got its answer. There, what do you mean Chris Paul is out? There's going to be another issue that pops up. Let's hope it doesn't happen to the Cubs season.
Amen. And the potential exists for it, unfortunately. And the Cubs are, there they are. There they are, Molly. We're waking up, and the Cubs are in first place by one full game because the Brewers cooperated and lost, and the Cubs won last night. So it's a real thing.
Yes, it is a real thing, and I would say that that we are looking forward to the end of everything, and we're glad to be back in studio, and we're glad that people are not wearing masks in the same way. I do still have a mask. I do wear it in the building because there are still signs up that say, "Please wear a mask." I'm vaccinated. I don't think I need to wear a mask. But I'm happy to do it if it makes the people that work here more comfortable.
Have you been able to walk into like a grocery store or gas station without your mask on?
I still have some in the car.
Uh-huh.
And I still have, I have one in each of my backpacks. I mean, we've got masks now. It's not like it's difficult to get them. In fact, you can only buy them in like, rounds of 50, I think. So, we bought a bunch on Amazon. So I do have them in different places, and I just out of politeness, I do put on a mask before I go into the Jewel.
That's a pretty good way to go about it. I'll be honest, like the last...
There's a lot of people not wearing them, and I get it. When I go out walking, I don't need a mask anymore.
Right.
But I do have one in my backpack in case I stop someplace.
Yeah, I walked into a Starbucks, and I asked what the protocol was, because they were a little slower to open up, and they said... You don't have to wear a mask, but we kind of prefer you would. So I was like, sure,
yes,
why not?
That's it.
But and I think I'm going to take your cue on the grocery, because the last couple times I've been to my grocery store, I have not had the mask on, and I felt pretty free. But a little bit when I see somebody with a mask on, I feel guilty. So I think your point is, why the hell not? If it's going to make other people feel better.
I don't need one, and I don't particularly like wearing a mask.
Yeah.
I find it kind of claustrophobic, to be brutally honest with you. But I do it just so the people that are working there feel comfortable. And if, you know, if I go into a restaurant, I will leave it dangling from my ear.
Uh-huh,
and
just to while I, show you guys.
And I haven't been to a restaurant really yet. I've been to breakfast. I've been to a few different breakfast places just because, you know, we get up. When you work a morning show, you get used to waking up in the morning. And I think you also get used to trying to go to bed fairly early. So on the weekends, it's not like, even if I'm cooking or having some fun with my crew, I'm still pretty much trying to head to bed by 10 o'clock, the latest.
Have you been to a ball game?
I have not been to a ball game. I wanted desperately to go Wednesday. I unfortunately, none of my kids could go. I called three of my buddies who unfortunately had to work. And then it was like, do I go alone? And as you know, I'm a big proponent of going to the movies alone.
Oh,
I've always enjoyed that.
Amen, brother.
It's a wonderful thing.
Therapeutic.
And I've always dreamed of being accused of some kind of crime and then claiming I was at the movies and not being able to prove it. It feels like you could be in a Hitchcock film.
That's awesome.
It's one of the great things. It always goes through my head every time I'm by myself in a theater and I kind of have a half a grin. I love it.
They can't get me. Here I am.
It doesn't bother me at all being alone. And it does. You know, But I thought the ball game might be where I draw the line. I just thought, like, sitting out there by myself while, you know, Bernsey and Shane and all these guys have good seats.
That sounds gross, those
and I'm
three, doesn't
I'm
it?
Standing, you know, up in the nosebleeds by myself. I just
sharing your mask.
If I ever took my mask off, I would be exposed as both friendless and pretty much miserable and a person no one wants to be around.
Just
so,
sharing your mask thoughts with everybody. It's like, hey, I've been vaccinated, but I still wear the mask. I go to the grocery store, I still wear the mask. So I'm good to go like that. But I would like to, my dream is, I love to go to movies alone just like you, but I would like to go to a movie with you and have you sit in the back, I'll sit in the front. So we're kind of there together, but they're alone. And that way we both have alibis. And it's something I've been wanting to pull off for some time.
That's a good idea. Then we'd really need to be accused of a crime because we could claim we saw each other.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That would be great.
Right.
Yeah. Well,
were
you together? No. Was there anyone else at the theater? No. So you just sat next to Mark? No. What?
Were
I was at the movies. Mark, So I worked for Taylor Bell when I was first starting out in this business, and Taylor was the prep editor at the Sun-Times. So basically we would work from like 9 till 3 p.m., and then there'd be a break of a couple hours, and then at about 5:30 or so, the calls would start coming in with results from high school games and stuff. So from like 3 to 5:30, I would be able to take a break. And, you know, there was nothing to do. I mean, there was nowhere to go. I had no money. So I would often go to the Marriott on Michigan Avenue. I would leave the Sun-Times building and just cut over there. And I'd sit in the lobby and read a book. And that was pretty much all I did. But occasionally I would go to the movies if something really good was open. So I went to, do you remember when Water Tower Place, this is a long time ago, had a theater? And I went over to the movies there. And I sat down. I was the only guy in the theater, which is like the greatest thing ever. And so I'm sitting there, and the movie is getting ready to start. We've already got some trailers going. This guy walks in, and he walks in and sits right in front of me. The chair, it's a completely empty theater, and he sits right in front of me.
Jesus.
And I sat there, and you know I can be ornery. So I got up, and I moved in front of him.
Nice. That's the move.
And then this guy I could hear him why would this guy sit in front of me? So he moved down and sat in front of me.
You gotta be kidding me.
Swear to God, true story. And then I moved back to my original seat and enjoyed the movie.
Wow.
But that's how I got that guy to move.
That's unbelievable.
Didn't say a word. Right. We had no exchange. He was frustrated when I sat in front of him, but apparently he was unaware that I was sitting there when he sat
you
in front of me.
Outsmarted him. So when I was working in Lincoln, Illinois, 2.5 hours south of here, that's when I first started going to movies by myself.
Yeah,
and I went to a movie. It was like a daytime movie, 2 o'clock. The movie was Lake Placid about the killer alligator, and I just had to see it. So I go into this 2 o'clock movie in Little Lincoln,
terrible
Illinois.
Movie.
Oh, it's an awful movie. Yeah. This old school broken down theater. I'm the only one in the theater, which is fine. And the movie starts it's going on for about 20 minutes. The movie breaks down. The movie breaks off. Here, I'm just sitting here. No, I'm the only one in the theater.
So nobody's
doing a thing. Yeah. Nobody's doing a thing.
No one's even aware.
Yeah, so I go out to the back to the front desk, and I'm like, my movie's broken. They're like, oh, we're sorry, sir. And they turned the lights on, and like everything was, I was exposed. You know what I mean?
Oh,
it was like
hysterical.
It was like one of the first times that I went to a movie on my own, like by myself, and I was just completely exposed. There's like three people trying to fix the movie. They're asking me if I need anything. I'm like, just turn the lights off and put the damn movie back on, please. This is embarrassing.
I love that because that's probably, if you really were self-conscious about being alone at the theater, that's probably like the nightmare scenario.
Oh, it is.
So first time out, that happens, forget it. You know, you never have to worry about it again.
Yeah.
You know, you got it over with. You can just go on with your life.
Uh-huh.
That's beautiful stuff.
Exposed.
All right. So listen, the Arlington Heights Bears. I know you just went over this with Les, but I did. The first thing I did is I told Dustin that that the mayor, the first the mayor, not the son the mayor, actually threatened George Halas to sue if they moved to Arlington Heights back in, like, I think it was the late 70s. Dustin claims it was the early 80s, whatever. I just remember that happening.
Okay.
And I know we can't get that audio, but I said to him, we should look around. You know, there's some really funny audio.
Give it a shot.
From the mayor, you know. Yeah. The police aren't here to create disorder. The police are here to preserve disorder. I mean, there's some phenomenal malapropisms from the original Mayor Daley.
Really? That was said?
He said that.
Oh,
he said that around the 68, I believe, the convention, right?
Wow, yeah. Bad timing.
No, it's just funny. No, he was in response. The police aren't here to create disorder. The police are here to preserve disorder, which is awesome.
That's too good.
He did. He said that if they moved to Arlington Heights, they would sue them and not let them use the name Chicago. And I know everybody goes crazy with what's going on in New York and the Giants and the Jets and the whole thing where they actually are in New Jersey.
Meadowlands,
and,
right.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. And we've been there and sure. You know, I get it. But it is weird that history is kind of repeating itself. And I'll say this. The facility at Arlington Racecourse is absolutely magnificent. I mean, it's a beautiful place. And you think about the landmass and the natural parking areas. And we don't even, you know, I don't know. We've all been to Arlington. I'm sure you've been to Arlington.
Yep, sure.
But you don't even think about where the horses are kept, where the barns are. There are people that live back there. I mean, it is a massive facility. A massive complex where you could really put up an incredible building. I just don't you feel like the Bears would now build like an 80,000 seat stadium like on the cheap, as cheap as they could do it, like in a beautiful facility.
Yeah, you know, and the thing too is that like I think it's probably the right thing to do. Like the idea of going to a place where you can make a lot more money and have a lot more people, and you could host a Super Bowl, you could host a Final Four, and all of that. I still hate like the put me down with Grobber. I still hate the idea, quite frankly, of any Chicago sports team that they would leave Chicago. I hated it when we heard the Cubs talking about Rosemont. I hated it when I heard – I think the White Sox were talked about in conjunction with Addison at one point in time. Obviously, the Tampa Bay stuff, I hated hearing that. And, you know, just where Soldier Field is, the idea of them leaving the city and leaving the lakefront, I don't like the way that feels, even though I know it might be the right – it might be a better thing to do.
Well, they have the smallest building in the NFL. They have the – in terms of the number of people that can attend. So – you know, whenever you read these stories about where the Bears are in terms of the money they've earned, and we got to get to the 5 at 5. But I think we both agree we don't want them leaving the lakefront, but they do need a much larger building. And the money, you know, the money would be to build the whole damn thing, get yourself a Jerry World. Now, I don't know that they have Jerry money. So it's a very interesting conversation, and I think we can do it throughout the course of the show, but we got to get to the 5 at 5. We will continue the conversation. It's Mully and Haw. We have the great Mark Grody with us this morning. Grody time!
Let's go.
On a beautiful Friday in Chicago. Mully and Haw on the score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
It's 5 at 5 with Molly and Hall, where we debate the top five sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Molly Hall. 5 at 5 with Molly and Hall starts now.
Would you support the Arlington Heights Bears? Anyway, Mayor Lori Lightfoot tries to sue the Bears for the name Chicago, like the first Mayor Daley did to George Halas. Anyway, the city wins if they did. How would the folks at 1920 Football Drive feel about dropping Chicago from their name?
Well, you know, Mayor Daley threatened to sue George Halas. I don't think it ever came to that. I don't like the idea of the Arlington Heights Bears. That doesn't do a lot for me. I don't think they'd be the Arlington Heights Bears. I think they'd be the Chicago Bears, and they'd be in Arlington Heights. And I think that, you know, the mayor has tried to would she try to sue? I don't know that you could sue for the name Chicago, could you? If you move out of the city limits, can you sue a professional sports team for still using the name Chicago? I think that would be an unbelievable blow to the Bears. I think it would affect the value of the franchise if they weren't the Chicago Bears, if they were just the Bears. I think that if they had to drop Chicago, it would be a really bad thing. I can't imagine them dropping Chicago, and I can't imagine people wanting them to drop Chicago. I think that people would still support the Bears. I think the Bears would get plenty of fans out there. There's a train that runs that you can go to Arlington Park. That's fantastic. They could put on some special trains on game day. They could, it's pretty far out there. You could probably turn one of those streets one way on game days so that you could help with traffic flow issues. I mean, these are, you know, again, there are only 17 games in a season in the NFL these days. And three of them are home games. So you're talking, three preseason games. So you're talking about 10 games a year, basically, right? You're not talking about, it's 10 dates. But if you built a facility, that would be concerts, that would be a Final Four, that would maybe mean a Super Bowl, right? You can't have a Super Bowl in Chicago because of the weather. And they did it one time in New York because of 9/11. They were trying to be supportive, and they got lucky with the weather. But I don't know that you could pull that off in Chicago. You certainly are never going to have a Super Bowl in a building the size of Soldier Field. It is the smallest stadium in the NFL. And the Bears have a long list of people that would love to go watch Justin Fields in particular play quarterback. So they would be able to fill up a larger building without question. But the whole naming thing is very interesting, and I don't know that I don't know that there's any trademark on the name Chicago, but I think that Chicago Bears worth a lot more than just Bears.
Yeah, and despite the fact that Les Grobstein accused me of
stirring it up,
antagonizing him, I didn't really get that word. I didn't understand why he would say that to me, because that's just not my thing. I don't antagonize people. But I actually agree with him. There is no way that they would ever be called the Arlington Heights Chicago Bears or the Arlington Heights Bears. That it wouldn't stick. And plenty of other examples of teams that have moved out of the big city and into the suburbs but have kept the big city name.
Right.
And I gotta be honest, with the Super Bowl stuff and the Final Four and the year-round concerts, I think that that's all good. And it would be great if that could occur. And I would enjoy it if there was a Super Bowl in this area. But I don't need that to fulfill me. Like, I don't think, I'm not raising my hand. So, God, there's got to be a Super Bowl here. Wouldn't that be great? It'd be cool. It's sort of the way I felt about the Olympics. And I remember you being very pro-Olympics. I was like, I wasn't crazy about it. I was like, yeah, why not? It'd be cool to see the spectacle, but I don't need it to complete me in any way, shape, or form as a Chicagoan. I also think, here's the other thing, too, is that a lot of people, just some of the feedback that I heard yesterday on The Score and on Twitter, a lot of people that live in the suburbs are saying, oh, this is great. You know, they're going to be here. They're going to be closer. Everybody that goes to the games is from the suburbs. I think it's kind of a destination to go to the city. Like, I grew up in Itasca in the western burbs. I like going to the city for events. It's eventful. It is a destination place. So the idea that, oh, I'm only going to be 5 minutes away now from the Arlington Heights, you know, stadium, that doesn't float with me because Chicago is a destination.
There's so many good sides to each side of the argument, I believe. That's what makes this really talkable and very interesting. I'm going to be a Bears fan no matter where they play. But I'm with Mark on the standpoint of, and Mully, you set this in motion when you and I were talking before the show. There are only 10, potentially 11 games now that we've got an increased, you're going to get an extra home game, right, every other year potentially with the new 17-game schedule. So you'd get an extra one, but they've cut down on the preseason. So instead of having two preseason games, you might only have one. Maybe every other year you'd have two. But again, you know, at the most, right? At the very most, you'd have, if you hosted the NFC Championship game, you'd probably at the most in any 1 year have 15 games at that facility, right? 15 games. It should be a destination. The trouble is that Soldier Field is a pain in the ass to get to. It really is. It's a pain in the ass even if you live in the city of Chicago, let alone the western suburbs, the northwest suburbs. It's hard to get in and out. I had season tickets via Chet Kopic. When the two years that I did not work in sports talk radio,
yes,
I had season tickets. My dad and I had two to every game with four other guys from the old 101 Sports Sporting News radio days. They rotated out. We were up great. We were at the 45-yard line, but we were like 10 rows up in that new spaceship part that landed on top of Soldier Field. It was hard. Now, being an early person, my dad and I would go, we would leave the house at 5 a.m. We'd get to Soldier Field at like 5:38. We'd eat two meals in the parking lot, two full meals. We ate a breakfast and a lunch in the parking lot and got, but then that walk, it's like a two-beer walk from your car to the stadium.
Yes,
it's a two-beer walk easy. And if you really want to pound them, it's a three-beer walk to the stadium. That's ridiculous. So moving to Arlington Heights would be more convenient, but is it worth convenience for 10, 12 games a year? There's something about having your professional teams in the city. The other chatter that I heard yesterday, and I'm not saying that the guys on the score saying this were wrong, were that, well, if you build this joint in Arlington Heights, it becomes the greatest. It's a TV booth. It's, you know, the Bears, when the Bears are playing, when the game is going on, I don't see the tunnel and necessarily the fans and the disco bar on this end and the scotch bar on the other end and the boxes and this. I watch what's going on the damn field. I don't care about the TV booth that they're showing it in. And isn't there going to be resistance from the Cubs ownership, from the guys that are on the west side at the United Center who have the concerts? So every concert now is going to be in Arlington Heights? And I'm curious.
All the big ones.
People listening right now in that area, the general Arlington Heights area, call us, text us. Do you want this?
Oh, you know they're not going to want. Half the city's not going to want that, of course.
You hear the people that live in Wrigleyville near Wrigley Field tonight. We are having a Friday night game at Wrigley.
Yeah.
Mark, you covered the team. Mully, you've been in Chicago your whole life. I've been paying attention. I probably could count on both hands how many Friday night games have there been at Wrigley Field. People are going to be bitching and moaning about a Friday night game in Wrigley Field. Well, then don't live by the field. But the problem is now the Bears are coming to where you live. You moved to Arlington Heights to be away from congestion and hustle and bustle. And they come up, and maybe it only ruins 10 or 15 weekends, but that's still 10 or 15 weekends.
By the way, from the parking lot to Soldier Field, that was a six-pack guy. That should not surprise you guys.
No comment.
Taking a little bit of time here to say this because I know that these questions could go on and on each and every day.
Did you like Justin Fields' response to the whole red rifle is QB1 thing and Fields the top pick as man in waiting / backup QB?
I feel like if you can control what you can control and come to work every day with a positive attitude and a want to get better, then, you know, there's no stopping you.
And Fields vowed to be ready when his moment comes. What else could he say?
Yeah, I mean, he's handling it well. You know, there. I guess there is the part where, and he kind of has said, he said this at least one time, like, of course he wants to be the starter. He has, that is on record, yes. And any guy worth his competitive soul wants to be the starter. But for whatever reason, and this is probably a good thing, he's been very patient with learning and not wanting to, you know, ruffle any feathers as of yet. So I think that there is, he said a couple things that I thought were interesting yesterday in regards to this, that he admitted that calling a play in the huddle, that's a big deal, that he needs to learn some of the rudimentary things. The part that was very heartening and good, a key thing that he said was, that he offered to us is, I'm a quick learner, which to me says, hey, if he's a fast learner, maybe the old "we'll know it when we see it" will happen pretty quickly. But I think he knows, because he's a smart guy, Justin Fields knows what he doesn't know right now. So I think he's kind of, I don't know if afraid is the right word, but he doesn't want to rattle anything, and I think he knows he's got work to do still.
You know, they got a plan, and they're going to try to stick with the plan, and everybody's on board with the plan. And the plan is the Kansas City plan. And Justin Fields in this plan is none other than Patrick Mahomes. And so this is what they did with Mahomes, and this is how they got Mahomes to be this great a player. So this is what they're going to do with Justin Fields, and this is what they how they got Justin Fields, how he's going to be a great player. And in the interim, you had Alex Smith, and this is what they did with Alex Smith, and now you got Andy Dalton. Well, those guys are not the same. Those are totally different situations. Alex Smith was a Pro Bowler who knew the system, had been there, had won with the team before. Andy Dalton is in his first year, and he's not quite sure where the locker room is either. And he's been a professional and been in the league, but not with the Bears. And he's learning the system along with Justin Fields. Oh, and by the way, he's on a one-year deal. Okay, so they promised him that he's going to start, but this is not Alex Smith. This is not the same situation. There is very little in common between what was going on with Kansas City. Oh, and by the way, Matt Nagy is not Andy Reid, and there's not a situation where they've been to the playoffs, but they haven't been able to win the big one. This is a situation where they backed into the playoffs, and they haven't been able to win the big one. So I think that there's a lot of differences here, as much as there are similarities, right down to the fact that Patrick Mahomes was an unknown quantity who had not been a high-profile college player. Justin Fields was a very well-known college player and a guy that we saw weekly on a Saturday. And I think Justin Fields is saying the right things. I think Andy Dalton's doing the right things. I think Matt Nagy's going about it in the right way. But I wonder about whether Nagy's going about it the right way, because he at one point asked for everybody, you know, show some respect and just whatever you do, just back off a little bit. Oh, my God,
please.
There's a tidal wave hitting me. You know, there is an avalanche of get Justin Fields on the field. And that's going to be something that you can ask for respect and kindness, and I'll come to you. Everybody wants to get to the future. And the Bears want you to slow down and think about it. And everybody used to want the Bears all to be fired. And now we're supposed to wait another year, and then you'll see us really be good in 2 years from now. That's going to be a hard sell. I think Justin Fields said the only thing he can't say. And I think that everybody's doing exactly what they're supposed to do. But let's see how they look. And once these games start, these preseason games, forget it.
Yeah, and one really quick thing that I asked Fields yesterday was, I said, do you feel it? That everybody wants you to start. Everybody in the side. And he goes, of course I feel it.
Yeah.
He goes, but somebody, the effect of these things, you know, greatness takes time.
He went to the Cubs game.
Yeah. but he says he likes the White Sox, too.
Don't even get me started. No.
50-50.
That's his first mistake so far. That's
what?
His first mistake as a high-profile.
So he's supposed to pick a side?
Yes.
Why?
Pick a side.
He's from Ohio.
He just got here.
Or
he took the Reds.
Say you're undecided at this point. Don't. I'm a 50-50. I like both teams. Don't do that. Don't.
Well,
dude, he
that's not
got
the purpose of this. That's not. No, let's get back to this later.
Okay.
Let's
sidebar.
Get back. This also plays into the reason
Dustin,
why I will
alarming.
Say this as a
Dustin needs his own show.
As a potential tease, I will say this is a reason why I am not on board with two NFL teams in this. Youngstown. Okay, this is why I'm a fan of both.
I'm looking forward to this topic.
Answer this question.
Yeah. Thank you. I'm going to.
Sidebar.
I really like this quote from Fields and anybody in their car right now. I was in my car about 3.5 hours ago coming down here, and this should go in your mind. This is a T-shirt or a bumper sticker probably. If you control what you can control and come to work with a positive attitude and want to get better, there's no stopping you. And if he really, truly believes that, he is light years ahead of where I thought he was. That's a great quote because he could have said, part of the end of the question that we haven't really gotten to yet, there's a couple questions in the question. What else could he have said? Well, I know I'm the best quarterback here. It's up to the coaches.
See,
it's
he not can't up say to that. Me to
decide. Well, he could, but he could. We right. have heard other people
but I, but
say
my point
that.
Is, when Matt Nagy says, well, this is QB1 and he's QB2, you know, it's a starting point. We'll see where it goes. What do you want him to say? Oh, we're having a competition, and Justin's going to win because look at him, my God.
Of course not. No, this is all speak. And this goes back to yesterday. The answer to the question yesterday was June 17th. Today is June 18th. Let's revisit when it matters.
Exactly.
July 18th, August 18th, September 18th. That's when it's going to matter. Right now, this is set up perfectly. And we can only hope, Mully. We can only hope that this plan that Matt Nagy is stealing from the Chiefs works as well as it did for the Chiefs. We can only hope it works 80% as well as it's worked for the Chiefs, because that means they'll be hosting an NFC title game up in Arlington Heights in about 5 years.
It's a great, great question.
How impressive was Kyle Hendricks' start last night against the Mets?
I thought he was great. I thought he was the guy that we thought he was going to be all year long. I thought he was the ace of the staff and the best pitcher and the guy that stops a losing streak. That's what you want out of your top pitcher, out of your guy that is the opening day starter, and I thought he was just really good. Now, in fairness, the Mets weren't at full strength because they had no Jacob DeGrom.
He was there and he was jovial.
I only said that because Dustin's head popped up as I started to go the other way.
If you watch it on Twitch,
you saw me roll my eyes for all those attentions I used to get back in junior high for rolling my eyes.
That was just William a joke. William. No, I mean, clearly Hendricks was the man, and that's exactly what he has to be. And he did. He performed the role of ace of the staff perfectly last night. Had to win, and he did it.
Yeah, and I thought in particular, I was impressed with I'm always impressed. Like the way I rate a performance is at some point in time, a starting pitcher is going to get himself into trouble. Can he get out of that trouble? And he did in the first inning, striking out Lindor and Alonso with a man on second. Fourth inning, allows a couple men on. Got your guy, James McCann, to hit into a 6-4-3 double play. So I particularly like those, but I think I actually liked his strong finish. Then after those kind of stumbly innings, his fifth and sixth innings were vintage Kyle Hendricks, 1-2-3 innings, and then he's able to hand the ball over the bullpen and get some perfect work out of that. So yeah, it was a huge win for the Cubs and an important performance for Kyle Hendricks, and I'm really glad that he didn't give up any long balls, because that's the only thing that's bothered me really about Hendricks this year, is giving up the home runs.
Absolutely correct. That was vintage Kyle Hendricks. That was great. They got the early lead. He staked to a 2-0 lead right off the bat. Anytime there was a sign of trouble, we just talked about that double play with McCann. That was huge. That's when you really took, at least I did, took a side. Like, okay, like they can now finish this thing. You get to the two or three big guns in the bullpen. Kyle did enough, and he's just so cool, calm, and collected. He's having like an adult conversation with Tommy Hotovy in the dugout that they were showing on Marquee that I saw, and he looked like he had barely broken a sweat at all. Like he could have just like ran his hand through his hair, and he would have been ready to go out for a steak in New York after that game.
It's a tough one, Bruce. It's a very fair question, and obviously a ripe one.
Are you concerned that Adam Eaton was put on the 10-day injured list with a strained right hamstring? Was it good to see Zach Birdie, local guy made good, back with the big league club?
Yeah, of course it was good to see. Whenever Zach Birdie pops up, I'm like, oh, Zach Birdie, there he is again. And let's see him thrive. Unfortunately, the situation in which he had to come into the game was not ideal. Hey, we might need you in the fourth inning if things go terribly wrong and Dylan Cease only lasts 3 1/3 in this game. Am I concerned that Adam Eaton was put on the 10-day injured list? Yeah, of course, the guy is hurt. He is a valuable bench player and sometimes starter. But I don't think, like, based relative to some of the injuries the White Sox have had this year, I don't think concerned is the right word at this point. I mean, I've said this before. I think that on top of being the most talented team in baseball, the White Sox, and the record will show that, and having a great group of starting pitchers, Sox are the most resilient team in baseball. They are. They have been able to overcome so much in terms of huge, you know, injuries. Tony La Russa and his mistakes, they have overcome all sorts of things this year, so they are so resilient. So to say that I'm concerned about Adam Eaton being out, I guess I'm not.
You know, I got to tell you, I saw the crawl, and it said Adam Eaton was put on the 10-day disabled with a hamstring, and I literally let out a cuss word because I thought it was Adam Engel. And then I like look at him like, oh, Adam Eaton.
Okay.
I was like, oh, thank God.
You can be hurt. You could get
well,
the truck.
I mean, not being cruel about it, but, you know, Adam Eaton is not going to be here beyond this year.
Right.
And Adam Eaton, we have made it, I don't know how often you have to say, less is more. The less he plays, the more you will eventually get out of him. So the idea of just giving him a rest and calling it his hamstring or whatever is a really good idea. He's just beaten up and he's just wrecked. And, you know, if you could, you'd send him down to the minors for a couple of weeks. But I believe he's out of options. So this is a nice way to get him a rest, get him out of your hair, kind of. And it's a good way of handling him. And I would hope that there'd be more trips to the 10-day IL.
Eaton, nobody like you.
Thank you. That's exactly how I was going to in my best Ozzie impersonation, but now I don't need to do it. In his last 30 games, he's hitting 171 with 27 strikeouts.
Yeah.
The 171 is bad, but the 27 strikeouts on top of that 170 is even worse. Like, Adam Eaton is there to at least put the bat on the ball.
He's had big hits, though, this year. I mean,
you're right, Marty. There have been a couple of moments, correct, but as unhealthy and unlucky as I would say the White Sox have been, despite the fact they have a 3.5-game lead in their own division, that you can.
And I want to talk about that, because whoever's in charge of scheduling needs to answer some questions when all the Indians do is play bloody Baltimore.
There's a tease.
There's no intrinsic value to this question.
With Phil Mickelson 8 shots back after a +4 in his opening round of the U.S. Open, is his dream of a career Grand Slam basically over before it began? What did you think of Lefty's admission/complaint that the clicking of a phone camera got to him?
The video ding, you know, that just kept going off. And look, it did it the next 3 or 4 shots thereafter, too. So it's not like that's the first time. It's just that you had to ask 3 times. So, and again, it's part of the game. Like, it's part of professional golf. You have to be able to let that go and not let it get to you.
That's the answer. That's correct. He's got to let it go and not let it get to him. Of course, he's going to get a lot of people that are going to do that sort of thing because he just won the Grand Slam, or he just won. What the hell did he just win? My mind shot.
That one major?
He just won his major first time. And the Masters, right?
The PGA Championship.
The PGA. Yeah, the Masters is next, right?
Yeah. Everything's out of order. Yeah.
Everything's out of whack, including me.
Hideki Matsuyama won the Masters.
That's right.
Enough.
Okay.
You. Yeah.
Here's
okay.
the thing.
Yeah.
So it's my turn.
Yeah. You can't let it get to you. He had three times he was overshot and he backed off it. I believe they brought in security on the third time, and then he put it like he just hit one of the worst shots of his career. So you just cannot let it get to you, and he should know that better than anyone.
I agree, and it's so funny because we talk about, like, to death in baseball, all of the unwritten rules, and, you know, with golf, it's obviously etiquette, and I guess it is a written rule that you can't make noise, but why in baseball can one overcome a 95-mile-per-hour sticky baseball slider, but they need complete silence in golf? So I don't know if we'll ever see that change or flip-flop, you know, with golf and some of the etiquette and the rules. But, yeah, to cite that, just so, wink, wink, just so you know, kind of thing, I think is a little bit of, little bit weak. And it's not looking good for him in terms of the Grand Slam. But I think that, yeah, Phil, like Tiger winning the major that he did before the recent injury, I think that that was his final maxing out for his career. I don't think he's going to win another major.
Ooh, now there's a hot take.
Well, we've got like three topics for later now. Look at that.
We need another hour. Yeah. Dan and Layla, we need another
go
hour.
Go back to bed.
We need another hour. We're dropping transition. We need another hour. We're going all the way to Lawrence Holmes.
Oh, my God. Justin Fields, Cubs and Sox fan. That's right.
If I wasn't a Phil guy, I could get on Phil for this. You can't have it both ways. When he won the PGA and the crowd got tighter and tighter and tighter behind him, that was great television and great sport. But even I thought, ooh, this is getting a little dicey right now. I don't know that the security that's there can handle this crowd. And at one point, somebody grabbed Phil's shoulder and he kind of pulled away, like jerked away, like, what in the wide world? Like, come on now. So you can't be the people's guy and then have those thoughts. I hope he makes the cut. He's got to make the cut in order to be in the hunt. Now the question is, can he rebound today?
No.
Can he make the cut?
No.
And we'll see. I hope he does. If he makes the cut, then anything is possible with that guy because he is really, really good around the greens and can chip some things in. And there's low scores available, obviously, if you watched yesterday. And it was on from the time I got home till the time I went to bed last night, it felt like. That golf tournament was on forever. And kudos to the Golf Channel. I mean, you got to see every single shot. And then it moved over to big time NBC5 at 6 o'clock. So it's a good, fun event, and it's at a beautiful place. So
Phil's backyard. All right. Real simple question. Would you support the Arlington Heights Bears? 312-644-6767. Just as simple as that. Would you support the Arlington Heights Bears? It's a loaded question. It's Mully and Haw. He's Mark Grody. Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.